You got a Sprinter van and you're going to travel around the country.
I don't know how much I'm going to use it yet, but I'm going to use it just for pickle, like going to tournaments, going to events, stuff like that. I'm going to use it as like a little podcast studio. So I'm going to try to get like a fixed camera in there and like have a nice backdrop like you do. You're very inspiring, Adam. Bring people into the pickle van and talk pickle.
I like it.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
For over 10 years, innovation has been at the core of who we are at Selkirk. We take risks, we test, we evolve. Introducing the Selkirk Lab 007. With an Infinigrid surface that lasts at least 3 times longer than rock carbon, and a titanium mesh layer for added power, while maintaining the largest sweet spot available. Because good is never good enough.
Oh, that's what your mug says?
Yeah, I don't
share the. That's a good one.
You think? Like, what? But what? What's it getting at?
It doesn't matter. It's share positivity. Maybe you can interpret it however you want to. Light is good. So if you're sharing the light,
right,
that's
share the
yes,
light.
Yes, yes. That was perfect. That was well done, there, partner.
You're home, you have the beautiful Hard Ace backdrop, you're traveling to Palm Desert, not Palm Springs, Palm Desert?
I think it's...
Are they the same thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Palm Springs has water, Palm Desert does not?
That works for me. So yes, I am traveling later this afternoon. Major to start the year, so we're starting the broadcast on Tuesday. And,
Tuesday.
We're going to try to have a white out Saturday for not just the players, the fans and the commentators. So we'll see if that actually happens. Probably not.
Racist, but okay.
And, that's that. Yeah. So, I was actually on a call yesterday with, Mish McMahon and Dave Fleming, and we have a couple light rule changes, for PPA in 2025. So, no one can be on the bench, just the players. There will be, in the first row of the stands, there will be a designated coaching bench. You can coach. Whenever the ball is dead, you can coach. I think that was already the case. So it doesn't just have to be on timeouts. You can yell things if you want to from the stands once the dead ball happens. You only get one timeout per game. And timeouts are not connected to challenges anymore. So you get 3 free challenges per match, and you don't lose. Timeouts aren't affected at all. You get 1 stoppage of play for the timeout per game, and then per 2 out of 3 match, you get 3 free challenges. Championship Sunday, per 3 out of 5 game match, you get 5 free challenges, okay? And so the thing is, though, once you use up those 3 free challenges in a regular match, you are still able to challenge. But if you lose, your opponent gets awarded a point.
Okay.
So.
I got it. So we've gone down on timeouts just to 1 a game.
Yep.
Correct? And then the challenges, let's say you have 3 challenges over a best of 3. If you use all 3 of those in game 1, you're out.
Correct.
But you could challenge it more and you'd lose a point essentially, or they'd gain a point.
That's right. That's right. So, that is correct. And of course, if you are successful in your challenge, you retain that challenge. So it doesn't count against your 3. You're not capped there.
Adam, tell me this.
Yes.
You mentioned on the coaching on a dead ball.
Mm-hmm.
Would this constitute a dead ball? Because this would be me as a coach.
Okay.
I'd sit over there in the little front row seat, first row, and I would just be yelling, "Bounce it!" Like, so let's say somebody's hitting a mid-court drive, somebody's pulling the trigger, and you know off the paddle it's going to, you know, your player that you're coaching loves to hit those shoulder-high, you know, balls that are going to hit the back fence, and you yell, they hit it, you yell, "Bounce it," as the ball's in midair, but they listen. They don't hit it. It flies out, hits the back fence. Is that coaching, or was the ball considered dead because it was not in play?
Yeah. That is against the rules, Rob. So
What part?
The ball is live. I mean, it hasn't. Why? It hasn't landed out yet. It hasn't landed out yet. So incorrect.
I guess that makes perfectly good sense.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, I like where your head's at there. I mean, you know it as a coach. You see your boy or your girl winding up to hit it. You know,
don't touch it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, no offense to Jessie Irvin, she's a great player, but she has a flat drive. You know, if that's coming shoulder high, you got to let that thing fly. But no, so that would be against the rules, Rob. Yes. So okay, I like
that makes really good sense.
I like the thought process there.
It's a pretty bad question, but yeah, I appreciate you making me feel good about it.
That's why we're here. So we are no longer having close call replay with the cameras, but the in-house cameras are supposed to be similar. So I don't know exactly what that means. We'll find out. So the challenge system will be significantly better from what it was, but I do not know how that's going to compare to close call replay, who is no longer doing the PPA MLP events. So we'll just have to see this weekend.
Is that replay just over the weekend, or is it every day starting Tuesday?
I believe it starts Wednesday, if that's how I understood it. There was a lot of information on this conference call, and, you know, sometimes I don't quite retain.
You're a sponge.
Okay, I'll take it, sure. Yeah, so that is the main points of emphasis, yeah, that's where it sits.
Okay. Well, that's not much has changed, right?
No. Just, it's pretty minor, nothing.
Can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's it. Yeah. That's it. Also there was a video released and it's Ben talking to his sister about partnership choices, and basically he just said, I gauge a right side player by how difficult it is for me to play against them. That's why I chose Gabe, because it's Gabe kind of lights me up, basically. So talk a little bit about the lefty righty thing. And that's why he picked the Max Freeman guy, who he thought had a good game, kind of said he was a baller. So he thought he'd take a crack with him with one. And he also said something about playing one with Hayden Patricwin, which makes sense. And that was about it. He will be playing with Colin, his brother, one last time in Palm Springs before all that partner stuff trickles down. So that was a little bit in the news. And then, of course, Rob, you were deep in the Twitter streets over the past week or 5 days or so, talking about the Jill Braverman incident, about some form of bridge loan for the PPA to, I'm not particularly good at the business stuff. So she made a comment, and then there was a couple people came to the defense of the PP or the UPA about this is standard operating procedure. This is what happens with startups, yada, yada, yada. And there were some responses, and actually, I believe Samin went on a podcast to talk about the situation too. I did not listen to that, but that's what's up. I thought the cool thing about all of it was that the impressions and the likes were ridiculous. So you had like Barstool Jordy from Barstool Sports, Darren Ravel, a couple other people chiming in that aren't necessarily that hardcore pickleball group. So it grew. They say any publicity is good publicity, and maybe that's the case because a lot of people were putting their eyes on this spat, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and I look, Jill did a good job with the headline and the YouTube video. Like, it was obviously a bit sensational. But that's the point. That's the point of, sensational gets clicks, and it got clicks, and it got views. And Adam, you dropping the word impressions, you are impressing me right now.
Yeah,
you are.
I heard someone else. I don't know exactly what that is, but I don't know how it's different from views, but I heard somebody say that. So
an impression is a view.
Oh, so, it is. Okay, good. Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah. So a lot of, A lot of advertising is based on impressions, and that's just basically every time something gets viewed. So, you know, we would gauge it in cost. It'd be CPM, and that's cost per impression. And that'd be the cost per 1,000 impressions. So if 1,000 people saw this, as the advertiser, let's say I pay $5, stuff like that. So our CPM, Adam, for this podcast, per 1,000 plays or whatever, our CPM should be incredibly high. Incredibly high, because we have a very targeted audience, very specific, very engaged. They love looking at you every week. They love hearing your analysis. They love seeing AJ every week. They love when I talk about how much more responsible and punctual Corinne is than you. very impressed with the impressions. No, so the Braverman UPA stuff, I thought it was all fine. I thought Braverman brought up points that should be talked about. The business side of pickleball and pro pickleball should be talked about. Look, everybody's livelihood's on the line. Not just, you know, UPA's business, but, you know, Jill Braverman as a podcaster, player, content creator. So everybody, that's the unique aspect. Everybody has like a little bit of a vested stake in this whole thing, right? And while UPA wants UPA to win, Connor and Samin, I think Jill has, I mean, obviously she probably wants UPA to lose and not do well, but, regardless, like, I think it's just good information to get out there. It opens up conversations. And I thought Connor and Samin had great counter arguments and great, like, you know, points of fact in terms of a rebuttal. But what I had a problem with, and this is what I said, was like, you guys are now going into like on Jill as a person and like as a player. And it's like, it actually weakens your argument so much when you're being petty and like basically like shaming somebody on their play or their performance and saying you couldn't play on our tour and like, you're not relevant anymore. Just like stuff that it just turns into, now it's like a mudslinging contest versus like, let's actually talk about what the business is and what the numbers are and like, what is the path that UPA needs to take to make it a viable business that isn't losing money, or that, like, I would be curious on that. Like, what is UPA's path, either one, to profitability, or two, on an exit to sell to a private equity company or somebody? Like, I'd be curious on that, right? Like, is the goal to get profitable, or is the goal to just keep pumping money in until it's so big that it's somebody else's problem to figure out how to make money with it? So I think it raises good conversations. I just didn't like the direction it went with, the pettiness and the name calling.
Yeah, no, I get you. I thought there was good information at the beginning and the heart of those posts from Samin and Connor. Yeah. And then they kind of went at Jill a little bit, but Jill brings that out of people. So Jill,
100%.
I think Jill is well-spoken. I think she's a smart girl, but she has quite the history of just being difficult and just a lot of people have a lot of stories and a lot of interactions with her that haven't been amazing. And it's a little bit of,
same right here.
I do agree with you. I think the biggest part of it is I think that it does soften a little bit the great stuff of the responses when that is paired with a little, some jabs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you let the information speak for itself and try not to do that. But Jill is Jill, and she will get that out of you or make you see red a little bit sometimes when you're dealing with her in a variety of situations. So I had the popcorn out. I was scrolling. I got in trouble from Corinne because I was on the iPad a little bit during that day that it was all happening, seeing everybody go back and forth. So it was interesting. But I like that a ton of people, even outside the the core pickleball group were taking interest in and talking about it. And I saw, it seems like most of the people, again, I am not a business guy. It seems like most of the people that seem to be in the know or know how startups work said that this is somewhat normal to get bridge loans or get extra investing or get an infusion of cash. I have no idea. I just like to talk about inside out forehands and things like that. So, so that's kind of what I gathered from it. But I think, like you said, Rob, putting stuff out there and talking about things, whether it's financials or paddle stuff or governing body stuff, whatever, just throw it out, throw it out there. Transparency seems to reign supreme if you can do that. So that's my very feeble, weak response to something that I don't really understand.
Perfect. I will say Jill probably got the exact response she was looking for.
You know, she was over there, like, drinking a glass of wine, those, just like, yes.
Dude, none of those tweets, like I saw JJ Redick just say, like, did you hear that? You know, Charles Barkley said you're a dead man walking.
Yeah, right, your job
security. And he was like, my heart rate's typically at 64. My heart rate was, when I read that, was still at 64. I would imagine it was the same for Jill Braverman.
Yeah, right. No, like, totally.
She gave zero. She was just like, probably like, doing a little smirk when they were like getting petty, and like that's you're right though. That's what Jill can do. Jill's good at that.
She's good. I mean, I said I stick by this. Whatever you want to say about her, she's a smart cookie. She knows how to press buttons.
She can bring the worst out of everybody.
She really can. And I have one Jill Braverman story. So I partnered with her for one tournament, and we actually had a nice first round. It was CGL. Sierra Gayton Leach and J Dub. So we beat J Dub and CGL, and then we're playing Rob Cassidy and Michelle Esquivel. And the ladies were going at it for like yelling, screaming, maybe a couple bad calls. And then there was like a very light, like, brush of a shoulder on an end change.
Yeah.
So we finished the match. Rob and I are just kind of like, geez, like, we're being cool, you know, we're staying level headed. The girls are not, sorry, ladies. And we end up winning that match, and a pretty close match. And then we go to our next match, and we're warming up and we're about to start. And Don Stanley comes on the court and he goes, guys, we have a situation. There's somebody that fears for their safety. And so we are going to have to investigate the situation and get back to you. There's possibly a chance that you're not able to continue in the tournament. And we're just like, oh my gosh. Well, anyway, he goes and talks.
Threat? What's happening?
Yeah, exactly. So he goes and talks, comes back 5 minutes later. He's like, everything's good. It's fine. Just go ahead and play your match. And I will give Jill Braverman some credit here, because I am the one that always cramps up on my partners. She cramped up on me, and we ended up losing that match. And so I appreciate her cramping up. So I'm not just the only one that cramps. So that's my Jill Braverman story. That's all I got.
She threw you a line there. That's nice of her.
Yes, it was. It was very nice of her. So
yeah, and just the last point on this, Adam, then we can move on to talk about more fun stuff like pickleball. The one thing that I'm tired of, like, reading about and, like, people, like, saying, and I saw Zay Navratil just said it too, like, in one of his tweets, and it's like, he's like, I'm not very in the weeds on this, but here's my commentary on it. Well, then you don't really need commentary on it if you're not in the weeds and you don't know what's happening. But regardless, it's like the comparison I keep hearing is, oh, all startups lose money. It's like, this is the worst. It's the worst take ever. And it's also like, then they'll go into like, Tesla lost money for the first 17 years or 17, like whatever it was, like $17 billion before they started. This is pickleball. This isn't Tesla. We're not building electric vehicles. We are trying to get people to watch people hitting wiffle balls on a little screen. That's essentially the business we are in, is get people watching the screen, watching people hit balls. You do that, you get a ton of people watching, all problems are solved. So it's like, please stop talking about us as being like a, like UPA as a tech company, like tech startup. We're not, we're sure a startup still, but it doesn't mean you can just blow absurd amounts of money. And like, I mean, they're trying to build it. Like you do want to build tech in. They have, you know, PB Central as the retailer. Like they, there's different aspects of the business, but it doesn't mean that you can just blow money and expect to just get a return or expect to sell. Like it's irresponsible to be like, yeah, it's just a startup. You know, money will keep pouring in. No, everybody gets tired of losing money at some point or writes it off. Right. And like doesn't keep putting money in. At some point, there's going to have to either be a path to profitability or there has to be a path to exit. That's it, period. So I'm curious on which route they're going.
So were you talking to me there? Because that's kind of what I said.
I don't know.
But I disclaimed it with I have no idea what I'm talking. Okay. I guess Zane didn't say.
No, that.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was talking about, and I'm sticking by that statement about me. But I hear what you're saying.
Of course.
Right. No. I don't understand. I don't fully grasp those type of situations with cash infusions and how long to be profitable and this and that. And then I understand numbers, but I don't understand how they play into a business. And I'll be the first one to say that. So, I see how you're different.
We have to talk about it versus Zane tweeting when he doesn't necessarily have to talk about it. That's like me hopping in a tweet of like, you know, ballet or something, be like, look, I'm not really in the weeds on this, but I think her form was a little
ballet.
It's like, why even inject if you like, talk about it on the pod, but like, don't, I don't like people that ride that middle line. Right. It's like, it's a valid point. I'm not in the weeds on it. And it's like, it's just riding that middle line and not having a stance on it. And I get it. He's a UPA player, and
I feel like you're talking to me.
But there are some funny tweets about him, like selling out to Big Pickle and yada yada. And, I find a lot of it funny. A lot of it's funny. But
hey, Rob, did you get a direct message from Eric Tice when I wanted examples about the last pod when I was talking about examples of what we say matches?
Nope, but I have been texting with Eric because I'm in Scottsdale right now, and he lives in Phoenix here. So we've been going back and forth a little bit. We're gonna try to link up. He wrote a, I don't know if it's been out yet, but he wrote a really great article breaking down all of the different international organizations and how basically like the global pro pickleball landscape and how like who's running each organization, what their format is, what they're doing. Really good. And I gave it like a proofread but dude, that dude, he spent like 20 hours writing this article. Like,
he's deep in the game, dude. He puts in the effort. So you're saying this article has not come out yet?
I don't know. It might be out. I just read it because he wanted a proofread.
Well, let's talk a little international. So I know, sure. Okay. So I know that there was some signings on social media of a handful of players, you being one of them. What league was that? What's the format? What's the structure? And who is heading that up? I know it was our boy UV. UV, who we've had on the pod before. South Bombay. It was a while ago, year and a half, something like that. But I know UV has a partner. And what was – so what's up with all of this little flurry that we saw?
Dude, global. They're the shit, man. They're the best. They so you got UV. You got Shashank, who is an owner, and I would say Shashank's really kind of, along with UV, really the face of global. Shashank is a director in Bollywood and loves pickle, super well connected, really wants to grow the sport from a grassroots level in India, which I really respect. I think I've talked about it before, like there's street cricket in India where, you know, some of the best players in the IPL, India Premier League for cricket, they came from very poor areas where in like tennis and other kind of country club type sports, you have to come for money to be able to participate. So I just love kind of their vision of making pickleball like that, making it super accessible to the whole country. And what a perfect sport to do that too, which is awesome. But you have Shashank, UV, you have Neeraj, who is really kind of the operations guy, who does a lot of the tournament directing. Got Hemal, who's, I believe, his brother. Hope I don't get that wrong. You got Divyan Shu. It's a good crew. It's like 5-6 guys. They're all on the same page. I've had a blast every time I've gone over there. But the global sports, they have a pro league, and then they have a challenger league, which is kind of a level below the pro, but still good players from what I've seen. Format is there are 10 teams. Each team has what they call a marquee player, which is kind of the first pick. And then they're doing it in chit systems, which I don't talk about not knowing what I'm talking about. I have no idea what really a chit system is in terms of a draft. But you have the marquee is kind of tier one. You have a tier two, which is like a vice captain. And basically they had a pool of players. They took 10, I believe it was 5 men, 5 women, and put them as marquee players in tier one. And then they took they looked at the whole pool of players remaining. They grabbed who they thought were the best players, put them in tier two, tier three, tier four, so on and so on. And what's going to happen is there's five different tiers. So each team's going to have 5 players, so 50 players total. I believe 20 of the players have to be Indian, which I think, like I said, really cool, growing the grassroots in India. And giving these players an opportunity to make some real money where they don't make, I don't know the average income in India, but it's not high. And these guys being able to play and earn money, even at like the 4 or 5 slots, is really, really cool. And the fact that I just like the fact that they're doing 20 Indians. I think same in Challenger. But so format, like playing wise, I'm not actually sure, but we don't know our teams yet. I think teams come out maybe like the 13th or something like that. But it's a snake draft with the owner. So like me as a player, a marquee player, I have no say in the draft. The draft's going to happen and I will have my team and then we will build from there, but it's going to be super fun. It's February 3rd to 9th, I believe.
Okay.
Dude, it's going to be a ton of pickle because we've got the league, which there's 50 players in it. There's got to be a lot of pickle. And then there's the tournament, which Adam, buckle up. I'm playing men's open, mixed open. I'm playing split age men's. I'm playing split age mixed. I'm playing 30 plus men's. I'm playing 30 plus mixed. And I'm playing the pro league. So that's going to be the most pickle I've played in probably like 2 years.
We are Selkirk. We are pickleball.
Pickleball?
Yeah, pickleball.
All ages, family, friends, dinks, drives, Ernie's, ATPs, and whatever this is. 10 years in and just getting started. Here and not going anywhere. We are you, and you are who we work for. Family-owned, USA-made, pickleball proud. Selkirk Sport. We are pickleball.
Yeah, I hope that knee holds up, brother.
Oh, dude, I'm a machine over here. You have no idea.
Your money. I love that.
I'm a machine. Every time I step okay. on my right leg, my knee clicks. It's probably fine.
It's probably fine. And I just love how you injured it. You just went down for a deep squat warming up, and you popped up too quick.
I couldn't believe it, dude.
Yeah, heard the pop.
New York City. I looked down at my knee. I was like, oh, that's not good.
Is that really that's not good?
You know that's not good. And I look, and I was just like looking down at my legs and my left inner knee, there's like just a flap, like just like if this is your knee, it was just like this little thing shouldn't be there, but it was there. And I looked at my right and it was like not there. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you're looking for that symmetry. Yeah, you want that symmetry.
You don't want the other knee.
I hobble
over to the trainer's table, and Brett's deep into Paris Todd. It's like hamstrings or something. And I'm just like, help. And he's like, ah, a little busy right now, bud. Let's take a seat. Yeah. I'm like, just look, help me.
Yeah, you did. You did something there that reminded me of the commentator sexual innuendo clip, and you did see it. You did see it, oh, right? Dude, gosh, it was wild. They dug deep. They did their homework. They got all of them. That was pretty. I'm a little busy here, bud. Okay. Oh, it's so good.
What did you say? You said something about a sternum that I really enjoyed.
Oh yeah, I said something along the lines of a player coming right at your sternum, and of course they cut it. You know, that's it's like one. Yeah, but it was a drive, it was a poach, it was a nice shot up at the sternum. You know,
came right at your sternum.
But just like Mish and Dave and everybody, like we all have at least 50, if not more, per year where it's just egregious. Dude, it's just so bad.
It's too easy for it. I mean,
it's too easy. Yeah.
It's probably the best sport for like clipping them. It's just rampant. It's hard not to do it.
It's impossible. Michelle Esquivel saying somebody like, coming in and out of Irina. I mean, it's just like, it's just obscene. And like when it's in flow, you don't always notice it. Notice it, but then when they just clip it and they cut it, it is something spectacular. I mean, I was crying. I mean, I was literally crying. It was absolutely wild, but let's not get into too many details right there because it was, this is a family show and we'll see if we get an AJ sighting. I haven't seen him yet. He's been
a little squirrely.
Yeah, he's kind of creeping up toward that 2-year-old mark, and he's not really listening.
The terrific twos.
Yes, and he's having some meltdowns, and nothing's going his way, and he just collapses to the floor, and he's obsessed with his mother. Like I'm useless. I have no role whatsoever. He wants nothing to do with me. At least when she's around. When she leaves, then I have value, but
it's a parenting issue. So, I'm obviously really well versed in children.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
I just feel like it's a, like having kids is pretty simple. You just feed them. And wipe them, then they should be good.
Yeah. There's plenty of that going on. I think he took 5 poops. It's like, God, I'm just like, wow, man, 5?
He is his father's son.
And the worst part is when he's like, his diaper is saggy because he's been peeing in there too much. You change it, and then 18 seconds later, he has poop in his diaper. You're like, dude, let's get our timing situated here, buddy. Come on, man. Come on.
How many times a day is the diaper change?
I mean, it's not ridiculous. I don't know, 3 to 5, something like that. Maybe a 7 spot occasionally when things get crazy.
How many of those are you changing?
I do most of them.
Okay.
Because he like there's certain things that he like behaves better for me. Like he doesn't, and I put him down for his nap because when she holds him and tries to put him down, he's obsessed with her, so he'll like cling to her. But I will hold him, and then I will put him down, and he just falls right to sleep because he doesn't give a about me. You know? So
he's
there's
like, I'm gonna fake sleep so this guy leaves.
Yeah, right, exactly. So there's like some really funny parts of it where, you know, she can't do it because he's too obsessed, and me, he doesn't give a so it just goes smoothly when I do it. So it's actually pretty funny. And I know that will change at some point, but we're not quite there yet. So Oh, I wanted to mention, I wrote this down while you were giving one of your wonderful spiels. One of my favorite tweets about the whole situation with the financials is Quang Duong jumping in and just going, 50 million in Vietnam. We'd raise that like that. Like Quang Duong just came out of nowhere and he's just like, it's popping in Vietnam. You need 50 million. Duke, my dad will get that in like 10 seconds. So I thought
I
thought that was absolutely hilarious. Shout out to Quang Duong, who was playing a little pickleball with Matt Wright this upcoming week. I think that should be hilarious.
That should be a lot of fun. Quite the contrast.
It is. I wonder if Matt starts doing his thing, if Kwong will back him up at all, or he'll just stay focused on what he's doing. Probably the latter. But I would like to, like, he just rubs off on Kwong, and Kwong just gives it to somebody.
We need Bao to get in there. We need Bao yes. and I, right, to be tag teaming people, and let Kwong Dude. Just let Kwong be Kwong. But I yes. need Bao hopping in and being like, if Matt's chirping and saying way out, I need Bao to be like just like echoing everything he says. Everything.
Oh, Bao's my guy. I love that. Yeah. I mean, he is a champ. I think he's like 14. He's got a chance to be pretty good, and he is his crap talk and his. What he says is beyond his years for sure. So shout out to Bao.
He's hilarious.
Love it. Absolutely.
It's like I'm talking to a 35-year-old.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. So yeah, we went through all the draws and the partnerships last time. So I think we're just set up to see some pickleball this next week. Set up for success. So, hey, what did you say last time about the fort? When is the first APP event?
Okay. Yeah. So we've got PPA Masters this weekend. And then we've got an off weekend next weekend, I believe. Yeah. So nothing next weekend, which is the what? What date are we at right now?
Oh, I don't know. The 6th.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hold on.
January 6th. Wasn't that? That's famous for some reason, right?
The Capitol.
Oh yeah, J6. Yeah, okay, I got you. All right. Well, let's not J6. Talk about let's not
okay,
get in
yeah,
there.
Yeah. That's not our realm. But if we want to talk about stuff we don't know, that'd be a good one. Okay, so this weekend actually is the what dates are we at? This is hard math. It's 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, like 10. No. Okay, so the 4 is the weekend after Masters. So it is back to back.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So first, I think there's a soft opening on the 12th or something, and then they better be ready come that weekend because there's
it's game time,
1100,
baby.
1,100 players coming to play at the fort, so it's gonna be really cool
got?
To see what it's like. Dude, I got a new partnership for this one. It's okay. You know, it's kind of a last minute thing. I've got Chris Hayworth.
Oh, dude, yeah,
that's a fun one.
Dude, he played.
No, he's playing good dubs, man.
I think it was Las Vegas Major League Pickleball. He was playing for the California Black Bears. The dude has some game. It wasn't just – now, I mean, he is a bit of a full sender, but it wasn't, like, just sloppy. Like, it was the two-handed back end was legit. Right.
He's under control in all his shots. You know,
I was impressed. Yeah, I was impressed. Like, it was actually him and Amanda Hendry who just played fantastic against us in Vegas. And when you're talking about someone who's fresh on the scene, at least from a doubles perspective, that was like 4 or 5 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago. I have no doubt that he's improved a little bit more, and he can be over there on the left so you can do your thing on the right also, Robert. So that's
ideal. Let me be
over there
on the right hitting some dinkies and some
dinkies. That's right.
Flicks.
Flicky long stockings, flippy long stockings. That's right. So that's great. No, yes, it's all about frequencies. And I think that you guys could do it. I think you guys could do some damage. Seems like a good positive partner too. Which of course helps. Best of luck to you two. How about mixed?
Mixed, I've got Getcheva. So this tournament was supposed to be mid December. And people like with the Indian leagues, like PWR, they actually moved theirs back a week. So originally it was supposed to be the same weekend as the APP. So a lot of people are going to be missing it. But I think PWR bumped it back a week or two. So now all the people that signed with PWR for that league, which is like Ryler, Howells, DeHart, all that whole crew will be playing, I believe. Okay. So I thought I didn't have a partner because I thought all these people are gone. So I was like, okay, I got a fresh slate. I got to find partners. But I had Getcheva locked in for December and then moving back a month, she can play. So I'm playing with Getcheva. And dude, so we got the fort, taking the Airstream down for the first time. Going to be so – I've never had an RV. I've never had a Sprinter van. There's a lot of like doodads and buttons and like – stuff
doodads.
To figure out. I have no idea
doodads.
What I'm doing.
I like that.
Doodads. But
so have we talked about your Sprinter van?
No.
Let's talk about it.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got a sprinter van and you're going to travel around the country and play pickleball.
Yeah. I don't know how much I'm going to use it yet, but I'm going to use it just for pickle, like going to tournaments, going to events, stuff like that. I'm going to use it as like a little podcast studio. So I'm going to try to get like a fixed camera in there and like have a nice backdrop like you do. You're very inspiring, Adam. And then
roll the dice, bounce, baby.
Then pop about, bring people into the pickle van and talk pickle.
I like it. That's it.
Use it for the
that's
first it. Time at the fort. I'm going to drive down with Malin. I'm going to bring the two dogs. The little doxy poos, Munch and Finn, named after Law and Order SVU, and then we cruise back up after the fort, and then
Stapler.
We're flying. So Adam, we're going to India, obviously. What I never realized until I looked it up somewhat recently was that the Maldives are only a 2.5 hour flight from Mumbai. Never been. Always wanted to go.
Gotta go.
I've gone pretty hard on some Hilton points. So I got us a little week in the Maldives before the Pro League. Don't worry, they have a pickle court. We're gonna be able to get some touches out there. And then a week in the Maldives, a week in Mumbai, and then I come back talking mid February, and I'm probably gonna have to do a surgery for the Crohn's. Bit of a more like intense surgery that's gonna I would say put me out probably till April. So that's my plan. I'm gonna go out with the Maldives in India, and then I'm gonna get a surgery. Hopefully it helps solve a lot of the pain stuff that I'm dealing with and will give me a new lease on life, Adam. That's the hope.
Well, I hope that for you as well. At least you're going to the Maldives before the surgery. That's cool.
That's the last hurrah, bro. It's the last hurrah.
Yeah. Mama and Papa Stone, they were there. They went and they did a big Australia, New Zealand, Maldives thing. So I've heard
what did they say about
I've heard they enjoyed it very much. So I think it's I think that's legit. I wouldn't mind going. They have a floating city that's going to open up in 2027. Self-sustaining floating city in the Maldives. So I just saw that. It came on my little clickbait thing. So I figured I'd share that with everyone too. So
I would love to check that out. I'm going to do some snorkeling. I'm going to do all kinds of fun stuff. Yeah, I had a snorkel all day, man. Just go float in the water, looking under there. Like there's the sea, Adam. We can get into this, but the sea is a wild place. The oceans go very deep.
I'm very buoyant too, so I float well when snorkeling. So I'm a big fan.
You're actually the perfect build for snorkeling. Yeah, you are.
Oh yeah, just right. Absolutely right. So okay. Well, that's all I have on my little pad here. Touched some of the hot topics. We did the preview of the PPA, and we can take a look at the APP next week and recap the PPA that is happening this week. So.
Yeah,
that's
before,
the plan.
Before we get off, Adam, I'm here in Scottsdale, running a beautiful Airbnb with three courts. Had an awesome group of entrepreneurs here that also just love pickle, and I got to give a big shout out to the winners of the tournament yesterday. So Tyler Glauser, which for those of you who don't know, is the co-owner with his brother of Montes Pickleball. Are the shoes that I have been wearing the whole past year also a bunch of people wear. I believe Mari Humberg, Kate Fahey, also the Emmeriches wear them. There's a fun little collaboration coming. I don't know if I'm supposed to leak this, but with Montes and the paddle sponsor of the Emmeriches. So I'll just leave that there. So big shout out to Tyler for winning the event with his partner Davey. And look, Davey lives in middle of nowhere, Virginia, Lexington, Virginia. He's a lacrosse player, but has very fast hands, and he really wanted a shout out. So attaboy, Davey. Now you can tell your homies back home. And also, Davey, build those four pickleball courts on your farm so I can bring my sprinter van up and park there.
You can pick me up on the way. I'm close to Virginia.
I'll pick you up. Yep. For all Let's for go. A good price, you know.
Two middle-aged dudes in the sprinter van. That sounds like a house. of a time. Let's go.
Yeah. Just packed solid with IPAs and probably some nice chewy candies.
Chewy candies. Absolutely. Red 40. Okay. It's my favorite ingredient. The artificial colors and flavors. That's it. Okay.
Well, I'm excited to recap the Masters next week. That'll be fun. And we will see you folks then.